We're in the 11th sermon on discernment, this series on discernment. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You're from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let's pray. For now we begin to discern in an active way in this study, to see what we're supposed to do with the knowledge of the truth, and how important this is, and how easily it is illustrated in the world around us where we have not seen discernment of this nature. Even among those who are church members, if we let our guard down, it is a certain bad consequence. May we take seriously the call to discern in this way, to test the spirits and protect ourselves and those we love from great evil. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when I say there in that text, test the spirits, some of you thinking, spirits sounds like ghosts. And if you're in your house at night and there's a bump, what was that? I don't know. Well, it must just be the wind. It's again. Mama, that wasn't the wind. What was that? Well, just, you know, calm down. It'll be okay. And then when you hear, that wasn't the wind. And in the on the old movies, if you had a ghost in your house, you might ask the question. People would get together and have a seance or something. Oh, spirit, are you among us? Give us a sign that we may know of your presence. And in those old movies, the spirits always talk funny. Why have you disturbed me? What are you doing in my house? And that's what people think about spirits. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. In other words, spirits. That there are spirits that operate behind the scenes of this world, and that spirits wrestle against us to keep us from doing the will of God. There is, Jerry could tell us more about this, there is a spirit of weeds in our yards. Because you cut a weed down, what happens? They come right back. There's a spirit to get. These weeds, you pull one up, you can't take us out, because we are fed by the weed spirit. Well, in this world, there is a constant spirit of evil. The Bible says that those who oppose the Lord are held captive by the devil to do his will. 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26. The servant of God is patient toward these, that God might grant them repentance, that leads to a knowledge of the truth so that they might be rescued from that. But in this world, there is a spirit of evil that always fights against the people of God. And discernment, as John mentions here, involves testing the spirits so that we are not contaminated by evil. A filter, water filter, gas filter, whatever, filters capture contaminants and keep the contaminants out of the places where you have to have pure fluids. You don't want to turn on your faucet and have a fish flop into it from the river. I mean, there's got to be some stop to that. And that's a filter. And so discernment filters that out of our lives. We all have a filter on our remote control, mute button. Something comes on, you don't want to hear. If it's commercial, it's gone. Now, the spirits that we deal with here are not primarily directly evil spirits, demons. But what is spoken of by John are spirits of people, agents of the devil's spirit. Revelation tells us there are two Babylons. There's the spiritual Babylon, and then there is the civil government Babylon, the false prophet who deals out false religion as a spirit to deceive, and the spirit of Antichrist, the government aspect, which seeks to bring everybody in line with the will of the devil. And so the prime focus for John is those people. Don't let those people mess you up. That's testing the spirit. So far, we've primarily defined the standard on how we judge what is right and wrong. Jesus is the standard for that, and the Word of God. And so we've also looked a little bit at the consequences of rejecting God. That if you reject God, there are bad consequences. You don't have to believe in them for them to happen. They just happen. Suppose a man has to do some work on a roof. He's got two ladders. Neither one of them will reach all the way to the place he needs to be. So he puts one ladder down, and then on that ladder carries the other ladder up and sticks it on the top rung of the first ladder and then climbs up farther. Do you have a prediction here as to what might happen? First of all, I would not even go up the first ladder. But a person that does that is going to have consequences. The ladder's going to fall down, most likely. In our world, people want good to come from evil. It will not. And we've looked a little bit at that, but mostly we've looked at the standard of righteousness. Discernment means picking the right way in the eyes of God. Not the way that would be most pleasing to us, but the right way. The wide view of that is what we've been dealing with to this point, and that is to get your foundation on the Lord, to discern where you should be in your relationship with Jesus Christ by the discernment process. We'll look, Lord willing, at a later time on the spiritual guidance aspect of this. But first of all, the first point, we are past the time of borrowing. Let me explain what I mean by borrowing. In prior decades, our nation borrowed from the Judeo-Christian ethic. What the Bible taught was like the way society thought. Society was not a believing society. But the standard was accepted. That was a Judeo-Christian. The things that the Bible taught, Christian truth was held up as the foundation for laws. That happened all the way back in the founding of our country. So being unbelievers, they still borrowed from the standard. They still believed in the standard. There was a general respect for Jesus Christ and his followers. And so they were in touch with truth. The Christian world view permeated our land, really. And so people had a certain sense borrowed from the Bible. They themselves not being personally involved. Of course, this still goes on. I would illustrate it mostly, maybe best, by church membership. Church membership is down all across the nation. But what there used to be, well, there were more people in church who had this this attitude, this worldview. They took comfort in the church. They took comfort in Jesus Christ. They took comfort in the Bible, but they were on the fringes. They weren't personally involved, but they were comforted by being in church. They were still holding on to, borrowing from, the biblical principles. And that gave them some meaning and purpose. And that is, in our time, now becoming less common because more people are getting farther away from the church, from the Lord. But the nation had a touch point for meaning and purpose. And they borrowed on that foundation, which was a Christian foundation. It's like you're walking out in the woods. You don't know exactly where to go, but you see that there's a path that people have taken. Well, then that gives you confidence. It's not your path. You didn't make the path. But you see that it's been made. And when you want to know where to go to get where you need to be, well, then you see that path and it gives you comfort. You follow that path. Well, this is what the world has done before. And the world, the words of Jesus helped our nation to understand what life was, personhood, gave comfort in times of trial. We knew that God was our creator. That started being attacked. I was in the first, second grade, I guess. But there was a time it was understood that we were, you know, endowed by our creator. And we understood that. It gave us a source point. Where did we come from? And when you know where you've come from, and you come from God, well, that gives you a very strong foundation. You're borrowing from Christian truth, even if you yourself are not personally engaged in it. We could hope in God, run to the Lord in times of need. These days, if you tell someone that you're thinking about them and praying for them, people say, "What good is that?" But at one time, borrowing on the foundation, that was appreciated. The nation's drifted away from that, and so we're now drifting. Course, it's like you're holding on to the railing of a ship in a storm. As long as you've got a grip on the rail, well, you've got a basis for being assured of safety if you can stay there and if the ship doesn't sink. But as soon as your grip leaves the rail, you're drifting, you're floating, and you're in trouble. So that's what's happened. Now in our world, we have anti-truth, not truth. We have anti-law, and the society is in chaos. If you're in the ocean and a wave hits you and drags you a little bit, and so then you're trying to find a place for your feet to step. Until you do that, you're going to China. But when you can get on the ground, then you, okay, whew, I'm there. And then you can walk in and get back on solid ground. But the world's lost that now. We've lost even the most basic common sense. Any of you men pregnant? According to the world, you can be. You might be. You might want to get one of those tests. Not really. But you see, the world has lost all sense of the most basic things. Why? Because they're not borrowing anymore. They've drifted off of that. They're not holding on to Christian ethics anymore. They believe they found a better way. And so we get to the problem of spirits. And the text says, do not believe every spirit. Well, I like to not be judgmental. You might say, I like to accept people for what they say. I don't feel like it's kind to doubt. If a politician tells me that if they're elected, they're going to do the right thing, well, I just think I ought to believe that. These are people who have gone way out off the shore. The Bible says, John's command, do not believe every spirit. The only way we can believe every spirit is if every spirit was of God. We know that's not the case. And bad spirits make themselves look good. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. If you're a bad spirit and you wanted to make the most trouble possible among people who would maybe be shocked if they knew how wicked you were, how would you present yourself? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, 13, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. The devil disguises himself. Go into any store, and this happens, but it's in a benign way. I noticed in the Verizon store last time we were there. Been a while, but last time we were there, everybody, every picture on the wall, the person has a phone, and they're smiling. You know what that tells me? I've got to get a new phone. And I'll always be smiling. That's the setting of the tone. Well, the devil is an angel of light. The most demonic people will look like a righteous servant. I told them at my church in Rutherford, Grace Bible Church, in a Sunday school class one time, I said, if a false prophet comes here, they're not going to look like the devil with a, you know, pointed horns and a tail. I said, they'll look exactly like me. This is how the devil presents himself. Someone you can trust. The prime subject here is the spirit of man. Spirit of man, we looked at the mind last week. The spirit of man, the soul of man, heart, soul, mind, and strength, the spirit of man is what drives the actions, thoughts, and beliefs of a man. That's your engine. That's who you are. Your body, one day, and your spirit will part. You will die. Body without the spirit is dead. The spirit is the driving force of who you are. That's what is in there that soaks in all these things. And either shuns the bad and receives the good, or it receives the bad and shuns the good. It just, men in themselves, we think of a spirit as being a demon, but we're wicked enough in ourselves not to require the turbocharger of a spirit, an evil spirit. That does happen. And John says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. We'll talk about that more in a moment, to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many false prophets. Do you go out in the summer and you say, I'm afraid to go out because I know there's a gnat out there. I know there's a mosquito out there. A mosquito? A gnat? How about a legion of them? There's a place, I walk out in the backyard, there's this fly attacks me. I want it to land on my arm so I can kill it dead. But they're all over the place. If I kill that fly, I'm going to go in the city and say, I've killed that fly. We won't have to worry about that ever again. Many false prophets. It's not a rare occurrence. You will see many false prophets between where you are right now and your drive home if you bother to look. Except, of course, on television on Sunday morning. There are no false prophets on television on Sunday morning, are there? Probably just about every one of them. There are many false prophets. And we need to always face the world with that understanding that we have to analyze what people say. This is a very crucial practice because false teaching is more dangerous than any virus, even COVID. And you can't wear a mask. I don't think that worked anyway, but you can't wear a mask to ward off evil spirits. The virus can make you sick for a while. If you do not reject evil spirits, you could be ruined for life. A lot of kids go to college, they're ruined for life. They do not test the spirits. They do not reject evil. They live in a cesspool of evil, and they get contaminated. Evil bombards them from all sides, and they catch that. And they may be ruined for life because they did not test the spirits and reject evil. The devil has his crowd in hand, but he's never satisfied. So John speaks to us about this. He says, "Beloved, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Beloved." His crowd, he probably feels pretty good with a lot of those people. We ourselves, we hear people talk and we say, you know, they are really bad and I'd really be surprised if they're ever any different. But the devil is never satisfied with the number of people he has deceived. We get full. We have lunch a little bit. We'll get full. Probably. We'll be satisfied. The devil never gets full. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He never stops, never rests. This is extremely important for us to hear. And so we test the spirits how? By the application of truth. Not whether or not I agree with them. Someone comes to me and says at the front door, I'm here to sell you a new roof. How do I know you're any good with a roof? Well, I like Star Trek. Come on in and get a price set up. It's not about personal agreement with someone. In order to test, you have to apply truth. In John's day, the truth that he is applying is to the matter of Gnosticism. Gnosticism is a knowledge cult where people think they know something special that is not true, but they believe it with all their heart. You can see it all the time on the news. I heard somebody or read an article this week. Someone said, I think from the administration, clearly, they said, it is so obvious that we can change genders. Clearly. Obviously. That's Gnosticism in a political angle. They don't, clearly, it's not clear at all. It's clear that you can't. But They've adopted a certain knowledge that's not knowledge, but then they have taken pride in that, and now they feel superior, and they spout off evil, believing it to be clearly something that's not clearly. Gnostics claimed special knowledge of the makeup of man. And they said that evil and matter always coexisted. If you had physical body, your physical body was evil. It could not be anything other than evil. Physical means evil. Spirit means righteous. If you talk about spirit, you're not tainted by the world, you're holy. If you're talking about a body, then you're tainted with the world. You can never be anything other than evil. That's why Gnostics would just do whatever they wanted to do, because they said the body was already as bad as it could be. We can't make it worse by exercising our desires and lust however we want to. So they believed in that dichotomy. And so the doctrinal test was given by John here, verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming, and now it is already in the world. So, a Gnostic, Jesus Christ, hypostatic union, teaches that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Son of Man in one person. The Gnostics said that could not be, because Jesus could be in the flesh, but Christ could not be. Christ was from heaven, Jesus was from earth, Jesus is a body, Christ is a spirit. So Jesus Christ can't fit together. So they deny that Jesus Christ had come in the flesh, because in their philosophy, you couldn't mix those two. The spirit would not mix with Jesus, the body, because that would be evil. They would be tainted. So they denied Christ. They did not confess Christ. They denied that he'd come in the flesh. If he didn't come in the flesh, of course, he couldn't die for our sins. If he died, it would be just him dying. It ruins the entire salvation teaching of the Bible. They were very popular, and they were getting more popular. When John wrote this, they were just getting started. But later on, they got worse. So we have a duty to test the spirits. Who has that duty? Well, of course, your pastor. Well, and your deacons. Well, and parents and teachers. No, you do. It is your duty to read the Bible. Your duty, as he says, beloved here, your duty to equip yourselves so that you are not deceived. And so, people would come and you could test by doctrine. What do you believe about Jesus Christ? Did he come in the flesh? Oh, no, no. He's not of God. Did he come in the flesh? Well, it's a particular measure for a heresy that was active at that time. There'll be other heresies that would say, yeah, he came in the flesh, but then they'll err in some other way. But here is where he was at on that, in that time. And he mentions the spirit of Antichrist. Verse 3, spirit of the Antichrist. Antichrist is a very easy term to figure out. I am anti-broccoli. Get it? I don't eat broccoli, don't like the smell of it, don't especially like to look at it, and I'm anti-broccoli. Antichrist means you're against Jesus. You don't want Jesus. You don't want him to prosper. You don't want him to save. You don't want him to be spoken of in truth. You don't want him to be worshipped, praised, obeyed, any of that. And the Bible says here that This Spirit, you've heard, is coming and now is already in the world. The Spirit is already in the world. The Antichrist is still to come. The personification of evil, the beast that rises out of the sea, this is the Antichrist, still to come. But the spirit of Antichrist, where people are against Jesus, is already in the world. And this means that people hate Jesus. They hate his law. They will not follow him. And they work with the devil to oppose Christ. People aren't just for abortion. I mean, they are for abortion. And they are against you. They're even going around and they've got a system right now where they're giving a reward for people who will let a group know if a Supreme Court justice is eating at a restaurant so that they can show up and protest outside. They don't care about just abortion. They care about you not believing in abortion. And they're anti-life, anti-Christ, anti-law, anti-truth, anti-righteousness. And the world listens to them. They're from the world, verse 5. Therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. Well, they would spout that nonsense off at you, a Christian, and you would spit it back out. But the world's, oh, what a great teaching. Guy wrote a book about how if you're white, you're automatically racist, and there's nothing you can do about it, and you're a white supremacist, and everything you do is wrong. And rather than laugh, they printed the book, and it's in a lot of schools being taught. If I was king, I would have kicked that thing far away. It's stupid. It's idiotic. But to the world, they listen. They accept it. The sheep hear the voice of the good shepherd, but those who are not will not. They call it progressive. And the world is in the shape it's in. And so many people, troubled as they are, because they did not test the spirits and reject evil, but joined with evil. Conversely, we're told that the world doesn't listen to us. Verse 6, we're from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. Pretty simple, isn't it? They don't listen to us. If I could be listened to, just me, in my finite mind, it's halfway through the day. If you give me the rest of the day, I could put a quick fix on probably 1,000 things that should be fixed in the world. Just by my, if I could say it and it would be done, tomorrow would be a great day. You say any of those things that are wise, godly, biblical to the world, they do not listen to that. Because they only listen if you speak from the world. And he says here, this is how we know who is of God and who is not. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Not because of us, but because God's people are of God. But we are of the Word of God. We have been changed by God. And so it says, finally in the sermon, but it says in verse 4, you're from God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. The victory of God's people. We are of God. It means we've been born of God. We've been changed. Our minds have been redeemed. We think God's thoughts. Now, we didn't do that before. We've been rescued from ourselves. And we will not defect from Christ. We will not leave the Lord. Because if we ever left the Lord, it would mean we never were of God. But we are connected, and so the tense there is a perfect tense in the Greek. One of my favorite tenses in the Greek is a perfect. It shows a completed action with lasting results. It's perfect active in this sense. By embracing Christ, we have overcome them. Think about this. You look at what people say, and they say, "What? How would someone say something as stupid as that?" But you would say it if not for Christ, maybe. But you've been rescued from that. You've overcome them because you have in you a spirit greater than the spirit of the world. The one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. We are in the minority. We are very much in the minority. But our minority with God kills he who is in the world. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. We are more powerful. We have overcome in Christ. You know, people say we need to fix things. We understand that. A lot of things need to be undone. We're in a mess. A lot of school boards are very, very much an enemy to education. Oh, we got to get these school boards straightened out. You know what would have been a better fix, based on our text, is to not let them get in the first place. The best way to stop evil is not to let it start. And when the Bible says don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits, well, they're from God. You test and then you stop it. Our world does not do that. The devil, who is the god of this age, is the destroyer. He lets in all who will destroy. But if you want to stop destruction, you test the spirits. The Spirit of God abides in the light. You shine a light on evil, it flees. It's like bugs. This will literally save your life. To test the spirits will literally save your life, will save the life of your family, will affect and influence your friends and even the world. By testing the spirits. But if you leave it to chance, you lose. Because you will be overtaken by evil. Do not believe every spirit. Say it sometimes. I always wish somebody would say no sometimes. Men can have babies. No. Instead, men can have babies. Really, that's interesting. Let's talk about that more. No! Just no. Your child comes to you, I got these little tendencies. I think I might be a Martian. Well, if you're a Martian, I'm going to have to talk to the doctor and see if we can't get you some Martian stuff. No! Just no. Anything else? Is letting the spirit of the world in so you can be destroyed. And destroy not just yourself, but those around you that who are in your life. Let's pray. Well, it's a very simple, clear, concise, explicit statement. Believe not every spirit. Do not believe every spirit. But test the spirits. It's very clear. Because evil is very much unmasked these days. But the truth will ferret out evil. Lord, help us to protect ourselves, our families, our church, those around us who are our friends, to be that salt and light that curbs and restrains the evil spirit of our day. In Jesus' name, amen.